it blowing.
She's singing.
Which direction we are going. There's no knowing where we're rowing. Or which way the river's flowing. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is a hurricane a-blowing? Now the speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you.
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema. Crespo Biso.
Welcome to episode 137 of Cinema Crespo Biso. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. How's it going? It's just me, once again, sitting here with you guys, getting ready to talk about them movies. We'll talk about movies all day. Talk about them all night, as long as you want. Because it's all about that free entertainment. Hang out with me, writing the content, Drew Skogburn. Drew, how's it going?
What up?
Hey, dude.
Another week. We're here.
Another week we're here.
Saw some movies.
In the Studio 4.0.
Gonna talk about them.
It's just you and I this week, no guest. Figure give the guests a break from getting their asses whooped in Drew Skogburn versus the world.
I guess I'm doing okay.
Well, I guess so. 10-2, pretty good. I mean, all of last year, you won 11 times. This year, already at 10. Haven't even gotten to September yet. I think that's pretty good, Drew.
We'll see.
Was it last year yet?
I could take a giant dive here at the end.
Oh, last year you had 13, the year before you had 11. But still, you're almost over. Yeah, you could. You could shit the bed. But is that going to happen? I doubt it.
I don't know.
The way things are going. We'll see how you're doing, say, a sparring round. Hopefully, I can do pretty well, actually.
I feel I'm going to do pretty awful.
We'll see. So we'll meet somewhere in the middle. You'll probably go 5 for 10.
Every time you say I'm going to do well, I never do.
All right. Well, then I think you're going to do horrible in this.
You see, it already happened, Chris. Oh,
I can't flip it.
Nope.
I can't reverse it.
All right.
That's good to know. Good to know. Thank you for downloading our show this week. We appreciate it. For listening on iTunes, rate us and review us. If you're listening on Stitcher, you can add us to a favorite list of some sort. If you're listening through the website, chriscrespo.com, hey, how's it going? Welcome to the website.
Why are you doing that?
There's other stuff here.
You're a weird person for doing that.
What, if we're going through the website? A lot of people go directly through the website.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. What's that tapping sound? What are you tapping? You're just tapping randomly? Are you not even typing?
Just tapping.
You just tap it away.
Scrolling up and down.
You're doing the fake when someone's tapping away furiously at a computer, like at the end of a movie. Think of Q in the Bond movies, like the last Bond movie. The silliest part of Skyfall. I like Skyfall. It's a good movie. But do you remember at the end when Bond is running around, he's doing his thing, and Q is back at headquarters, like
fake typing.
He's like tapping away furiously at it, not even looking at the keyboard, just to, you know, that it's so goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, a little bit of that happened in Fantastic Four. whenever Kate Mara got behind her computer, she's like just tapping away furiously, and then things just start happening on the screen.
She first has to put in her headphones, or she can't type, apparently.
Yes, because patterns. It's a silly movie. We'll talk about that later, maybe a little bit. Might come up. Thank you for checking out the show. We appreciate it. This is your first time. Hope you enjoy it. If you've been with us since the beginning, thank you for continuing.
And I'm sorry.
And Drewster apologizes. He doesn't do that often. Or does he do it all the time? Up to you to find out by listening over a course of time and getting a sample size out of it. So we got some stuff to talk about. We got some movie news, a couple of movie reviews from the listeners. That's the Vox Populi. Billy D's hitting us up this week, as always, for that death of the movies. Always good stuff. Before we get started with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, the Doug Loves Movies ticket giveaway. The winners have already been notified, as have the people who did not win, because I wanted to do it just a little early to give them a chance, if they still wanted to go to the show, buy tickets before they saw it, because that show will sell it.
We'll see.
No, it will.
You sure about that?
Mm-hmm. I think it always does. I mean, it's not his first time coming to Orlando. He's been here for a while now.
Did I ever say that it was?
I'm saying there's evidence. It's happened before. Most likely it'll happen again. Also, since I don't think he's been here since January, maybe January 2014? I think it's been a minute since he's been here.
Well, I mean, hell, Chris, if people hear that you're on the show, they might just give their tickets back.
They might. They're like, you know what? We're out of here. That's why he doesn't normally let people know who the guests are at the time.
This guy.
Like, who's this guy? Most people are like, this guy is a nobody. But I'm about to become a somebody, Drew. I'm a somebody.
If you say so.
Someone's got to say so.
I'll believe it when I see it.
If I don't say so, who will? If not me, not, who? Not if not me. Now, when?
Never.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not you and never.
Uh-huh.
So it's got to be me and now.
Okay.
Because you're not going to pick up the slack.
No.
No. You're terrible at that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Noted.
Uh-huh.
Drew is terrible at picking up the slack.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Should I write that down? I think I'll remember that.
If you want
to. I think I'll remember it. Wait, you playing footsies with me over
you're
here?
You're playing footsies with me, man.
We need a bigger table. So, if you want to donate to the Crespo Diso Fund for a bigger table for Studio 4.0, you can Facebook us money, Cinema Crespo Diso. Instagram us money. Is there a way to do that? I guess you can share an Instagram photo of your debit card, but make sure you also take a picture of the 3-digit number on the back.
And make sure you put all that information public. All of it.
No, you can direct message someone on Instagram with pictures.
It would just be easier if they just put it out for the world to see.
I guess so. So, if you do that, we'd appreciate it. Hit us up on our Twitter at CrespoDiso and all that good stuff. So, we are letting the people know, the winners. If you didn't, we're told that you didn't win. I'm sorry. Thanks for entering.
Sucks for you.
You can still get tickets for the show as of currently. Through the Orlando Improv. It is September 9th. Wednesday starts at 8. Doors are at 7. It's about an hour and a half show. It's going to be pretty good.
See what happens.
It's going to be fun. If someone brings a box of donuts, there's a good chance that donuts will get flung into the crowd. So show up hungry.
Or I'll eat them.
What, if you bring your own donuts and eat them?
I could eat an entire box of donuts easily.
All right, well, I'll see what I can do about it.
You do that.
Throwing the donuts directly at your face.
Sounds fantastic.
All right. So here we go. Let's get started with Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
You can check out all the Netflix Instant Picks of the Week at chriscrespo.com. Last week's pick was, let me see. A few weeks ago, it was Fruitville Station. Last week, it was... Kevin was here. SBK. What was it? Why is it escaping me?
I got no answer for you.
And Drew does. Of course, Drew does. Oh, you know what it was? It was The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah. Good stuff. Great movie. Excited to see what this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week is.
It was going to be Airplane.
This week. Oh, Airplane's not on there?
But it's not on the list anymore.
Ah, Airplane. Ah, guys.
Sorry.
The movie is a joke howitzer. It's so good. Just mowing down audiences with jokes.
What so it's dead. We got a movie from 2013, Chris.
What a shame. 2013. Write that down.
It's rated R.
Rated R. Write that down. That's a good one.
1 hour. 57 minutes.
Okay. All right.
You rated it 3 stars.
Three star situation, 2013. What's the genre? Is it sci-fi, action, drama, indie? Give me something. Foreign? Give me something.
Drama based on book, drama based on contemporary literature, independent drama.
Independent drama based on contemporary lit from 2013, contemporary literature. I guess that's more. No idea. Okay, go on. All right, I need something else.
The movie is violent and gritty.
Is it American? English?
Yes.
It's American.
Yes.
It's violent and gritty. I need a little bit more. 2013,
based on the book. I'll start the cast from the bottom to the top.
Sure.
Heather Kafka.
I don't know who that is.
Adrian Mishler.
I'm not sure who that is.
Sue Rock.
Don't know who that is.
Ronnie Jean Blevins.
Oh, Ronnie Jean Blevins? That guy I constantly mistake for Peter Skarsgård. But I think he's slightly younger. I think he's an American Peter Skarsgård, 2013. Okay, go ahead.
Gary Poulter.
Ah, the name sounds familiar, but that's killing me.
I'm not giving you any more.
No, I need another one.
It'll give it away.
That's fine. Give it away then.
Ty Sheridan.
Ty Sheridan's that kid. Was that based on a book? Is this Mud? No, I would not have given Mud 3 stars. And Mud is like 2 hours and 20 minutes. Ty Sheridan is the same kid from Mud. That Blevins guy. I can see their faces. I can see their faces. I need more.
Nicolas Cage with a beard.
Nicolas Beardo Cageo. David Gordon Green. Joe. Yes. Joe. It needs a more standout title there. Something better than just Joe. How about the tree killers, tree poisoners?
Could be that.
Metal loving tree poisoner rage guy.
Sure.
I guess that's what Joe stands for. That's more of a 3.5 star kind of thing.
Well, you only gave it 3, Chris.
Netflix doesn't allow you to give 4 half stars or quarter stars.
Well, if Netflix.
If I could give by like the 10th of a star, I would. I'd be like, that's a 3.45. Joe's good.
3.45.
It's like I get 3.45 type of, out of 5 type of movie there. Joe by David Gordon Green. He made this one right after Prince Avalanche, which he made those after he did his run of like studio comedies. He
probably made both those movies in the same fucking forest.
It's possible. He could have made one during the breaks of the other one.
He could have made both movies at the same
time. Prince Avalanche, he shot over the course of like 12 days, so they probably had that for us for like 20. Like, let's shoot this other movie real quick. Got Nicolas Cage. He likes metal. It's all good.
Let's do it.
David Gordon Green started doing a lot of really small movies like that, with movies like George Washington, All the Real Girls, Snow Angels, and then he did Pineapple Express, stoner action comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Followed up with Your Highness, stoner medieval fantasy movie.
Yeah.
Right? And then he did The Sitter, which is like kind of sort of an update on Adventures in Babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing this run of bigger budget studio comedy. It's not big budget, but bigger than what he was making before. And then he went back to with Prince Avalanche and this movie. And this other movie's got out now, Manglehorn with Al Pacino. He's back to making these like small little intimate movies. Would you? I appreciate those other ones. I like Your Highness and Pineapple Express, but I like this version of David Gordon Green better. He also did some of the better episodes of Eastbound and Down.
All right.
Yeah. Because he's part of that crew, those guys. About the school with all those dudes, Danny McBride and Jody Hill and all those guys. They all went to school together, man, in North Carolina or some shit.
Good for them.
And then when one of them gets popular, the other one's like, hey, take me along with you. And they all, and he gets as many of them as he can.
So which one of our friends is going to get popular?
Working on it. Someone's got to do it. I have to expand our group of friends. We got published authors and radio hosts and podcasters and filmmakers. Someone's got to do it. Got enough tentacles out there.
Eventually.
Spectre style.
One would hope.
Someone's got to do it. Joe, good stuff. I like that one. Let's get into that box office recap for the weekend. What do you got over there?
Center number six this week. American Ultra. Had a weekend gross of $5.5 million. Same as total. Budget's unlisted.
$20 million? $30 million budget, maybe? Tops?
Maybe.
Right? Didn't look like... Movie doesn't look that expensive.
Nope.
Stoner action comedy.
With CG smoke.
With CG smoke. Lame. Well, maybe they're very much like we don't smoke. Our lungs.
Sure they are.
You don't know. You don't know these people.
You're right. I don't.
They could be straight edge, 100%, all about the work.
Sure.
Yeah. So then we're like, we need CG smoking. Like, here, smoke this fake grass. Because usually these movies use fake grass, right? Don't even call it fake grass because it's from the 70s. It's still labeled fake grass from the 70s, even though no one's called it grass for years. And they're like, no, we can't even smoke that, man.
Lame.
Sorry, you're deriding others' lifestyle choices.
I am. Well, when it comes to CG smoke, I mean, so it was judgmental. So awful. It really detracted from the movie.
It is pretty
Not
silly.
That the movie was that good to begin with, but still.
Yeah, I mean, it's an okay movie, I guess.
It, once again, a case of all the cool parts being shown in the previews.
Yeah, all the cool parts are shown in the previews.
And also, I think it had a great premise, and it could have been so much more. But it ended up falling very, very flat.
What didn't work for you? Like, was it the characters or the story? Did you expect more? I was hoping for more out of the action. I was hoping for some more.
I was looking for more out of the action. And B, I thought it was going to be, I guess, maybe more self-aware of what it was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't.
Play it a little more straight.
Yeah. Or even if you're going to play it, like, you know, with the whole, you know, not really a spoiler because it's in the previews, but the whole shooting the frying pan when he shoots the guy.
Yo, frying pan bullet trick.
There could have been more of those.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the one throwaway.
I was expecting
that was in the trailer.
I was expecting more things like that.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's really just that one thing, and it's in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Every trailer and every commercial.
Yeah.
All the cool stuff shown.
Yep.
In the trailers and commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bit of a bummer. I guess that's why, like, the advertising, there wasn't as much marketing behind it as I was expecting there to be. Like, all of a sudden, we saw a few trailers for it, and then all of a sudden, the movie's here.
Yeah.
And it's not like they've been pushing it that hard. I guess they knew that the movie wasn't that hot.
Yeah.
It's got to be kind of a low budget.
Well, I mean, none of the...
Well, $5 million, though, is not good.
None of the names that I saw, you know, the production company names, I didn't recognize anything, so it was...
Yeah, that's true. There was, like, three or four production companies.
All new people
out.
In the game.
Yeah. People trying to make it. Not an A24 or Annapurna in the bunch.
Nope.
You know, I mean, you can't expect that every time. Bold films. I like bold. Bold is good.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I was, I mean, I didn't think the movie was bad.
But it wasn't good.
Yeah, it just wasn't like, eh. Like, if I had a choice right now to rewatch either that or Man from U.N.C.L.E., I might watch Man from U.N.C.L.E. I think I was a little
Maybe.
More. A little more fun. I think I enjoyed that one a little more than I enjoyed this one, but I was expecting to enjoy this one more than I was expecting when I went into Man from U.N.C.L.E. Expectation levels were a little different. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, $5 million, that's not good.
Nope.
Don't expect Jesse Eisenberg to be doing many more action movies. I mean, he was fine, too, in the movie.
Sure he was.
More, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Running around.
Sure.
The action stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. What do they say on the Rotten Tomatoes about it?
It's got 45% rotten. Average rating of 5.5 out of 10.
So pretty middling, yeah.
The consensus is American Ultra has some interesting ideas, but like its stoned protagonist, it's too easily distracted to live up to its true potential.
How's a movie too easily distracted? Doesn't even make any sense. That consensus makes no sense. I declare that nonsense.
Congratulations.
Moving on.
Coming in at number 5 this week.
Number 5.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay.
$7.4 million, total of 26.6.
Ooh, that's not that good either.
Well,
after two weeks,
they keep making half-ass action movies for the summer that just don't catch on.
And this one too, Warner is trying to make a Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie for years. For like almost feels like almost a decade they've been trying to make it. At one point, Steven Soderbergh was directing it. It's a Guy Ritchie movie, his first one since Sherlock Holmes 2, which is like 4 years ago or some shit. And now, yeah, It's an okay movie. It's not something I'd be like, hey, go see it. But like, I would tell my parents to check it out because I think they would enjoy it. But I wouldn't necessarily be like, you got to go see it. It's okay. It's entertaining.
It's another run-of-the-mill action movie.
It is pretty run-of-the-mill. They kind of play like, you know, it's run-of-the-mill, but it's set in the 60s. So it has all the cool 60s production design. It's got some of the typical Guy Ritchie, like, over-the-top hyperactivity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's no big whoop.
Pretty middle of the road.
Pretty middle of the road.
All right, coming to number 4 this week.
Number 5.
Hitman colon Agent 47.
Oh, boy.
How we can
Agent 47. I see what you did there.
We can gross $8.2 million.
I see what you did. 8.2. That's two times four. Let's see what you did. I see how you're manipulating all this stuff. No budget there?
Unlisted.
It's got to be cheap. Cheap.
It's a video game movie.
Video game movie. Fun fact. I found this out researching for my review of this movie that I wrote online. Starting with Super Mario Brothers and going all the way up until Need for Speed that came out last year. All the video game based movies that came out in that span of time. The highest Rotten Tomato score of all those movies is 36%.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for... I wonder if you could guess off the top of your head, if you could guess what might be the highest rated...
Probably one of the Resident Evil movies.
You know, I thought so too. There's like 5 of them. 2 or 3 of them are rated in the low 30s. 31, 32. So they are in the upper echelon for sure of all these shit films, but there's one that stands out way above them at 36%.
Which one is that?
Prince of Persia: Sands of Time.
Only because it's Jake Gyllenhaal and Ben Kingsley and a shitty movie,
and probably because without really going over a list, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the biggest budget of all of them.
Yeah, it probably is.
It's the only Disney movie of the bunch. Yep. I'm pretty sure that was a Disney film.
Uh huh.
Of all those movies, they're the ones that took the strongest crack at it, and 36%.
It was awful.
I already know ahead of time the Hitman has no shot whatsoever of even coming close to challenging that. It is so low. It's single digits low how bad Hitman's been received. And it's definitely not good.
Uh-huh.
It's not good. The Hitman character, I was struck by this about 10 minutes into the movie, 15 minutes in. Not the very opening, but close to the beginning of the movie, it's kind of structured in a way almost like the first Terminator film.
Okay.
Where this girl character that's in all the trailers, Katia, she's like the Sarah Connor, and someone's coming to kill her, but she's not sure who. Like, she can sense that someone's coming to kill her, right? Because she's an enhanced person. And new Spock shows up, Zachary Quinto, and he's like the Kyle Reese. He's like, come with me if you want to live. And then they see at that moment, like, the Hitman is like, he's walking through him, he's stalking, right? And it's like, he's coming to kill you, come with me. And it's a total Terminator type setup, right? Until all of a sudden it switches and it's Terminator 2, and the Hitman's a good guy. He's like, no, I'm here to protect the girl, right? At this point, it struck me that the Hitman movies, I don't care about the video games that you play as the Hitman character and you're bringing down a corporation that's so evil they couldn't be bothered to call themselves anything other than Syndicate International.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, well, you know what? Bad Guys, Inc. was too obvious, so we're going to call ourselves Syndicate International. And I know in the video game, you play the character, you're ostensibly the hero of the game, anti-hero, whatever. The movies, Hitman, Agent 47, should be the bad guy. It should be like a slasher movie. He should be like Michael Myers in Halloween, but with guns. It should be like just a straight up action oriented slasher film with him as he's always walking. He's never running.
Yeah.
You know, just stalking you. He's the unstoppable killing machine. That's the only way to approach that property cinematically. Because this way you make him the hero, but he's a character who had his emotions, his fear, everything has been repressed.
Yes.
Genetically to make him a better killing machine, but it makes him a terrible story character to follow.
Yeah, and a terrible human being as well.
Oh, a terrible human being, yeah. But there's even still movies like Travis Bickle, Taxi Driver. He's a terrible human being, but he's fascinating to watch because he's a man of his emotions and he's reacting to everything going on inside him. Agent 47 has nothing going on inside him.
No.
He's just the mission.
Yes.
And then at one point, this girl's like, can't you ever love? Like, don't you want to know what that's like?
Nope.
And he's just like, murder. And then moving on.
Sweet.
Cleans his guns. And it's like, man, this guy is as boring as it gets.
Uh-huh.
So then to supplement that, then the movie is also then about this girl and her and the search for this random guy in her life. She's like, I don't know who this guy is, but I have to find her. That's literally how it starts out. And it's just predictable, and it's mostly predictable and silly. And again, the best moments of the movie, there's really only two of them, shown in the trailer.
Sweet.
All the trailers, all the commercials.
Lovely.
So
better or worse than the first Hitman movie with Timothy Olyphant?
I never saw the whole thing. I only saw bits and pieces of it on like FX.
Still.
Equal.
Wow.
Equally direct.
It's pretty awful.
At least the first time around, it was Timothy Olyphant, who I like better as an actor, but he looks silly with a shaved head.
Yeah, he does.
He looked like a big, looked like a giant baby.
Uh-huh.
Like a giant ugly baby. Yeah. This guy looked a little more like, you know, he looked better with the shaved head.
Okay.
Whoever this dude is. But he is not a, yeah.
Well, apparently the critics agree with you. It is
7%. 7%, rotten. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The consensus is Hitman, Agent 47, fails to clear the low bar set by its predecessor, forsaking thrilling action in favor of a sleekly hollow melange of dull violence and product placement.
Yeah, well, so many Audis, and they're like making sure you see that four circle logo, like make sure you see those logos.
So it's the Audi movie featuring Agent 47.
It's the Audi movie featuring Agent 47, and so that's absolutely correct. And also the, the action is just like, you know, in the movie world now, where we have the Raid films, Raid and Raid 2, and John Wick, if you're making an action movie now, like you bet you gotta fucking step up.
You gotta bring it.
Because if you can't even come close, if you don't think you can make something even as good as those movies, don't even fucking bother. Make a horror movie or a romantic comedy or something else, because you've already lost.
Yes.
You've already lost. Do you have Scott Atkins in your movie? Is your name Jonathan Hyams? Only people who watch DTV movies know what I'm talking about. So that's like, that's for you two people out there that are listening. And for Billy D, he probably knows. He probably knows. Shout out to Billy D. And what was it? The product placement, the action. Oh, and another thing I wanted to point out. In a few of the action scenes, when there is like a big moment, it's supposed to be like a big action moment, characters doing something or flying around or whatever, it becomes like very obvious looking CG.
Sweet.
Yeah, all of a sudden their bodies.
Just what I like.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's like, oh, video game cutscene. And oh, now it's like. The impressive thing is when that moment that happens when the actor turns into a CG character, and then when the CG character turns back into the actor. Like, oh, look at that. They transitioned in and out. It was very obvious.
Fun.
Yeah, good times. The fakest looking explosions and fire.
Well, that's why it's 7% on Rotten Tomatoes, Chris.
Part of why.
Coming in at number three this week.
Number three.
Sinister 2.
Sinister Dose.
Weekend gross
Cinedose.
$10.6 million in his total.
That this movie must have cost $5 million or less. It's a Blumhouse. His movies are cheap. It's a BH production, Drew.
Well, yes, it is, because it's rated at 12%, Mr. Crespo.
Oh man, I think the first Sinister movie was rated a good amount higher. If at the least in like the '50s or sixties, that is not good. Totally different director. Guy directed the first Sinister movie. A little busy now in pre-production, getting ready to shoot on Doctor Strange. So
that'll be a weird one.
It's going to be a weird movie, man. I'm looking forward to it. They showed a lot of concept art and storyboards and stuff and character art at the D23 Expo. They just did the Disney Expo.
Okay.
Out in California. And people were reporting like some crazy shit that they're cooking up over there.
Very nice.
Some very cosmic, astral craziness. Looking forward to it. From the director of Sinister comes Doctor Strange.
Da-da-da.
Which is great. And also the last Exorcism. No, not that one. The Exorcism of Emily Rose, I think. Which is a court drama exorcism movie. Weird guy, the Scott Derrickson. See what he's got next. What movie were we talking about?
Don't know.
Sinister 2.
Speaking of number 2.
Number 2.
Mission Colon Impossible Hyphen.
Who does number 2 work for?
Rogue Nation. He works for the Rogue Nation.
Probably does.
We can gross of 11.7 million. Total of 157.8.
Not bad for a Mission Impossible movie. Not bad. These movies also do pretty well internationally. That's where it gets. I mean, that's where Tom Cruise makes most of his buck. But over 150 for Mission Impossible sequel for the fifth in the series.
It's almost at $500 million worldwide so far.
There you go. So that's why they're like, We're getting production started on the next Mission Impossible movie right away to crank out at least one more with Tom Cruise before he gets just a little too old.
And number one this week.
Number one.
Straight Outta Compton. Oh, weekend yeah. gross of $26.7 million. Total of $111.5.
Wow. This movie, it's between that opening weekend and what it's get probably get up to $150. It's probably going to be the most successful music biopic movie. And one of the most successful, like, R-rated original films, like, not based on a book or a comic book or anything like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Home run for everyone involved. It's a great movie, too. It's really well made.
Agreed.
Yeah, really enjoy it. When did we review that? Last week? Well, we talked about it pretty in-depth with SBK last week.
Yes, we did.
Episode 136. So go ahead and check that out. And very cool. Straight Outta Compton. Good for them. 2 weeks in a row. Because Dr. Dre doesn't have enough money.
Oh, yes, he does.
New movies come out this week on DVD. Aloha. To which I say, Alona, bruh. I'm not interested. It's
You can say aloha. It means hello and goodbye, Chris.
Oh, I can say aloha again. Yeah. To aloha, I say...
Aloha.
Aloha.
But it's the goodbye aloha.
But the other, yeah.
Yeah, not the hello. Aloha.
You would think at least it would make it backwards. Like, aloha is hello, and ahola would be like goodbye. Right? It's backwards. You're coming and going.
No.
Aloha, I'm coming. Ahola, I'm going.
Okay.
Ahola.
Sure.
Ahola, aloha.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're saying over here.
Sounds awful.
Because it's not that good of a movie.
No, it's not.
So what's coming out in theaters, Drew?
Speaking of not very good movies, No Escape and We Are Your Friends comes out this weekend.
How do you know they're not going to be good movies?
Have you seen the trailers for them?
The No Escape one looks pretty basic. Nothing about it makes it seem like it's going to be bad.
Except for the fact that Ethan Hawke is starring in it. Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Even more so.
Like
he can't carry a drama.
Hmm. Doesn't seem like so much drama as maybe a little... not necessarily a thriller. I mean, it's an escape movie.
But there's no escape.
It looks better than We Are Your Friends.
Oh, God, does it ever.
Which looks quite bro-y.
It looks like the bro-iest movie come out this week.
It's the bro-iest bro movie to bro out.
Ever.
It's going to bro-gasm.
Bro.
It's going to bro-gasm all over the audience.
Ugh.
It's like, I think you have a way with, you can really make people move, make people dance.
Hey, you know what, Chris?
And it's like, I want to have sex with your girlfriend.
You know what, Chris?
And she wants to have sex with me. He goes, I'm Zac Efron.
You know what, Chris? There's not a single movie I want to see next week.
There's the We're Your Friends.
There's not a single movie I want to see next week.
Don't you want to see We're Your Friends?
There's not a single movie I want to see next week.
You don't want to see We're Your Friends? You don't want to be friends with Zac Efron? They're like, we promote parties.
There's not a single movie I want to see this weekend.
It's like, hey, what are you doing on Thursday? She comes. It's gonna be an awesome party. They even in a trailer, he was like, "You get paid." And Zac Efron shakes his head. It's like, oh, he's one of these free DJs that DJ Baby like rails against on Instagram. You see DJ Baby like railing against these cheap ass DJs?
Nope.
These guys are like, I'll DJ your club for $50 a night, and Baby like's like, what's wrong with you guys?
They are trying to get paid. Anything.
Anything, which is bringing the whole thing down, because DJ is a good DJ. Baby, like, you want him for a night? It's like $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, something like that, depending on the club.
Well, if you don't have that kind of money,
you gotta get one of these $50 free J's. That's how you end up with Zac Efron. And someone's like, will you play Drunken Love? He's like, no.
No.
And then the party is dead.
Oh.
We are your friends.
No, we're not.
We're not?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not.
What if the Z vs. Zachariah movie comes out? It's a limited release.
I saw that. It's got your man Chewie in it.
It's got Chewie Tell EG4.
You love Mr. Chewie.
It's got Margot Robbie in it.
I like Ms. Robbie.
And it's got Chris Pine, who no one likes.
Yeah, nobody likes.
Yeah. But it's a post-apocalyptic movie, but it's sort of like a drama version of Last Man on Earth.
But there's three of them.
It's two dudes and a chick. Well, yeah, Last Man. Spoiler: Last Man on Earth. Like after three episodes, he wasn't the last man anymore. But it's a chick and two dudes, and she's like, "Oh, who am I going to bang?"
Both of them.
Yeah, you'd think so. Mm-hmm. Why does she have to choose? And it's Chris Pine and Chiwetel Ejiofor.
She lucked out. And then it's Margot Robbie. They lucked out.
Yeah,
they all lucked out.
Everybody lucked out.
They should just have end of the world sex at all times until they die.
Yeah.
Right? What's this? Are they cultivating to try and make farm stuff? Maybe the whole movie is just a post-apocalyptic sex romp.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so we'll go see that. Probably won't be playing here for a couple weeks. Well, time for my favorite part of every single show. it's your favorite too. I'm getting the emails and the tweets. It is that time, Drew.
And it's the same thing that happens every week, Chris. Completely unprepared.
Oh, yeah, this is a long ass intro, so you have time to prepare. Here we go.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Take it away, Dr. Drew.
Well, Chris, it's that time again where finally a movie is coming out and I can stop seeing the trailers for it.
Yeah.
This happens a lot. Seeing movies as much as we do.
Yep.
I see a lot of trailers and I see them quite often.
Over and over.
And over and over and over and over and over again. And every so often there's one, you know, there's a movie that's coming out that I just can't wait till it comes out so the trailers will end.
Mm-hmm.
That will be We Are Your Friends. That's just a small instance of something that happens from time to time. I hate seeing trailers for movies that I know are going to be awful. And especially when I start seeing them like 6 months in advance and it's like, oh, that movie's going to suck and I'm going to see this trailer for the next 6 months.
Yeah, that sucks.
So that's my 2 cents.
Thank you very much, Dr. Drew. I got to agree. We're actually, that one and the No Escape trailer, seen those over and over and over.
All those and movies. Man,
so after, bad. Don't have to see them anymore.
I mean, I'm looking forward to The Martian. But I'm going to have to see these trailers. Well, actually, I have to stop watching the trailers.
For another month because you're reading the book.
Yeah, because I'm reading the book.
Yeah, the trailers for at least one more month before it comes out. And they're pushing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then when the TV commercials start ramping up.
It's Matt Damon.
It's Matt Damon. But he's perfect casting for Watney.
He is.
He is perfect.
He is.
When you read the book, you're like, oh, yeah. I see why they cast him. Perfect. Looking forward to it. Have you seen a new trailer yet?
No.
The new trailer.
Don't want to.
Because these trailers give away too much, man. What's funny about the last trailer, the new trailer, it's a well-made one. I'm not too sure about the musical choice. It's a kind of a remix of Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower. I don't know, it feels weird. But they go through the whole trailer, blah, 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 and at the end, it's like it shows on the screen The Martian, and then trailer voiceover guy, mm-hmm. who hasn't said a word the entire trailer, kicks at the very end and goes, The Martian. And I'm like, what? Why are you? I can read it. I know what it says. I don't need voiceover guy to tell me the name of the movie.
Yes, you do.
He hasn't said a word. It's one thing if you have Mr. Voiceover guy in the beginning. In a world where an astronaut is stuck on another world. Okay, then I'm expecting voiceover guy to do his douchey thing. But he's quiet the whole trailer. He's sitting there in the booth watching the trailer with you.
Going.
And then at the end when it says,
The Martian.
The Martian. Like, where did this guy come from? Fuck this guy. Voiceover trailer guy. That used to be the norm, too.
It did.
The trailers with the guy talking over the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The dude does this and the girl does that, but now they gotta do it together. Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore in...
Another awful Adam Sandler movie.
They should just title them that for now on.
They should.
Another awful Adam Sandler movie, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since Billy Madison. Hell, Waterboy.
Happy Gilmore.
I'll give you Waterboy.
I'll give you Happy Gilmore.
For comedy.
And that's it.
You won't even give him Waterboy? Waterboy's not bad.
Waterboy's not good.
You don't like Waterboy?
Nope.
So you'll just go back to Happy Gilmore. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
That's it.
Get out of here with that shit.
Correct.
Mr. Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Deeds was okay.
No, it wasn't.
It was okay. John Turturro played a Puerto Rican manservant who was very, very sneaky. No?
Awful.
Awful. Mm-hmm. Again. Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Notice how those two things are done. One, two, 2 cents.
I got it.
Those are your 2 cents.
Yep.
Okay.
Can we move on, please?
Oh, okay, Mr. Producer. Finally producing the show. Some way. Even if it means getting things moving forward, that's fine. Just get involved, that's all I'm saying. Let's take a break here. Crespo, this is a good time. I'm almost done with this beer. You know these beers? I'm drinking these St. Bernardus Abbott 12s. Mm-hmm. We got a 4-pack of them. And it's like $16 for a 4-pack. But they are 10% each alcohol.
I guess that kind of makes up for it.
Almost done my second one here. Decided whether I should do a third one for the second half of the show and slur my way to the end, or if I have to, should I scale it back to one of those IPAs that's like a mere 7.5%.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should funnel one and then drink the other one during the second half.
I understand where you're going with that, because then by the end of the show, who knows what ridiculous shit will be happening.
Yes.
They cost just a little bit too much, though. I feel like that's a bit of a waste. Like, I feel like it's a beer that I should be drinking and enjoying, which I am. It's a delicious beer. I feel like if I funnel it, it's like you funnel swill.
Why don't you just inject it straight into your veins then?
I'm definitely not tasting it. It's beer. It doesn't work that way. It's not a heroin.
Sure it does.
I can't inject it into my veins. Why don't you inject marijuana straight into your veins if you like it so much?
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. Except it's not possible. You gotta get some like THC oil or something like that. Even then, it might just cause a blood clot. Go right to your heart and kill you.
So be it.
Be the first person to die from marijuana overdose. How embarrassing would that be?
Marijuana injection.
How embarrassing would that be? Like, this guy had a perfectly normal addiction. Perfectly healthy addiction. And he went ahead and turned into something fucking nightmarish.
Yes.
Why don't you get some of that crocodile, yo, from Russia?
Let's do it.
You ready? That stuff, that fake heroin stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
We got to go to the store, buy all the ingredients we need, lock ourselves up for like 4 days, making it and using it until we run out, and then we walk out into the sun like zombies with our flesh falling apart.
Sounds awesome. I'm gonna go get that started.
All right, Drew's gonna go get some crocodile. I'm gonna get the Crespo Disco started right here with a couple songs from the Reservoir Dogs soundtrack, starting with the song that's a theme song, Little Green Bag by George Baker Selection. And then followed it up with I Got You by Joe Tex. These are exciting songs. I hope you're doing something like grocery shopping or jogging or driving fast. This is the perfect time to, if you're driving at night, shut off your headlights, driving in the dark. It's exciting for a few seconds, but then quick, turn the lights back on. You don't kill yourself. We'll be back in the second half of the show. Got a lot to talk about. Good times had by all. To be had by all. Here we go.
It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo. And we want you and Drew to know we really, 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 really dig it. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo. And we want you and Drew to know we really dig it. Oh, you, oh, and you and Drew get aroused by previews. And now, both of you, oh, we smell like popcorn. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo. And to the movies we go, primarily because you pick them.
There you go.
Thank you. Hey,
that was awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, Curtis. That was fantastic.
I gotcha. Uh-huh. You thought I didn't see you now, didn't you? You try to sneak by me now, didn't you? Now give me what you promised me. Give it to you. Come on.
Go second half of the show. Time for some Cinema Crespity. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going? Hang out with Drew Skyburn. Drew,
what up?
Giving the Drew Skyburn over there, giving the Vox Populi a quick read. While he does that, let's get the plugs out of the way. Go to iTunes to listen to the show and rate us, review us. That helps us out. Trust me, it does. Do it, please. It helps. You can also listen to us on Stitcher and ChrisCrespo.com. I already mentioned all that. Follow us on Twitter at CrespoDiso. Follow me on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Follow the show on Facebook, Cinema CrespoDiso. You can like our page there. And check out our Instagram page, Cinema CrespoDiso. And you can see some behind the scenes stuff, pictures with guests, as well as pictures of clouds and food and the occasional partial selfie. All about those partial selfies, guys. Follow Drew Sikogren on Twitter at AntiHero419. Twitter, Facebook, Hotmail, Tinder, Snapchat. What else? What else? OKCupid, Adult Friend Finder, Ashley Madison. He's all over the place. AntiHero419. Look for him. He's there. Right, Drew? Yeah, he's on scene now. So.
Dude, Ashley Madison's expensive.
Apparently, it's like $40 a month.
No, it's like $250 a month.
What? No, not that much.
For some of the higher tiered ones?
Oh, okay, okay.
Apparently so there are tiers.
You can pay up to.
I guess.
Okay. Never even bothered.
dude, no, segment. It's,
but yeah. I heard, but from the recent hack.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard that it was someone was doing some math at $40 a month. Maybe that's like your basic.
Yeah.
Just to sign up for the website and get your basic usage. $40 a month. The hack revealed 30 million users. Mm-hmm. 30 million times 30 a month. We are in the wrong business.
Yes, we are.
Gotta get in that.
All they gotta do is connect degenerates with each other.
Gotta get in that sex for money business, yo. That's not illegal, is it?
It's called prostitution. And yes, it is highly illegal.
There's gotta be ways around this kind of stuff. We need lawyers for this. If you're a lawyer and want to help us get into the sex for money business legally, hit us up, cinemacrespo@gmail.com. You could also use that email for other things, like send us movie reviews, questions, topics like that. Yeah, it's a pretty cool email address. You know what else an email address will do? If you go cinemacrespo@gmail.com, all you got to do is maybe put in a simple request for free stickers. Give us your actual mailing address. We will send you free stickers. We have two types of stickers to send out. And we mean to bring this up off the show, but I might as well bring it up on the show, Drew. So when are we doing, we should do a t-shirt. I want to do a t-shirt.
Okay.
A new t-shirt.
Okay.
That is the new two-headed logo.
Okay.
But the background on our logo, we got to do a solid background, right? To make it look right on a t-shirt. Or else, otherwise, it's just going to be a box where it's going to be like part of the background is the, what is it, the circles, the
yes.
bubbles?
Yes,
right?
Correct.
It's kind of an 80s looking uh-huh. bubbles thing.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take that off to do it on a solid color shirt. Like what the other one with the knuckle tattoo one, we had to simplify it. We had to, instead of doing half pink, half blue, we had to make the whole thing
one color or the other.
Right.
Yes.
So we won't have, we're going to do the same thing.
Maybe.
What was the website that you used for the t-shirts?
It was Custom Ink.
And was that the cheapest one?
Best quality.
It's like what, $20?
Yeah. Well, on average, yeah. Depending right. on how many we sold.
All right, let's come up with, on that site, come up with like, maybe pick a nice color, find a way to make that logo work on a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's do a new roll, some new t-shirts.
Okay.
And then we'll let people know, again, way we do our t-shirts, I don't want to sit here with a closet full of boxes full of t-shirts of like smalls and mediums and shit.
No.
Right, that we have to prepay hundreds of dollars for. So we do them by the, you know, you order them as we do them. How many do we make of the last run?
Like 20.
Do we make that many? Really?
Not even. Maybe.
Not even. I think it was less than 20 t-shirts that went out there. And we're not doing that shirt again. That's some limited edition shit. Are you wearing a shirt now?
No. It's no? a different one.
It's the same bluish color. Though.
Kind of.
Yeah. That's why I really, rarely wear that shirt. Try to keep it as nice as possible. You know what I mean? So if you want to get in on this round, you gotta let us know. Because we're gonna do a one-off. Everyone will pre-order their shirts. We'll get them made. We'll send them to you. We're good for it. Trust us, guys. You can give us your money ahead of time.
It might take us a long time.
No, it won't take that long. No. We'll figure it out like the nice window, the ordering window before we close it. What was that website where the t-shirts only available for like 24 hours? Were you telling me about
something,
that?
Yeah, some I forget what it's called.
Right? So we do something like that.
But 24
hours? Instead of 24 hours, it's like, you know, 30 days or something. You know, we'll take orders for a month. You got to prepay. Then we'll send you the shirt. Get the shirts made, send them out. Everyone got sweet shirts. Now, I like the new logo. I think it works. Can do stickers as well. Right?
We'll see.
So, yeah. Get on that, will you? All right. I mean, not right this instant because we got to do a show, but...
Eventually.
Add it to the to-do list. Should we go pink shirts this time? Blue, we went blue last time.
Well, I mean,
it doesn't have to be pink, but you know.
We're gonna have to do some work. We're gonna have to discuss some things.
Figure out. Yeah. Give me some mock-ups, some different ideas, and we'll whittle it down. And then we'll let the people know, and then we'll reveal the design. People can order them. Word.
I mean, because this one was only two colors. The other ones. More.
There's more colors in this one, so it's going to be a little more expensive. Yeah. All right. That's fine. Fine with that? Okay. Show business on air, out of the way. Usually those things are done off mic, but you know what? couldn't get this guy to sit down for 2 seconds this week. He's so busy. These guys run around doing so much stuff with his...
You never asked.
Actually, I kept forgetting to ask. I kept thinking about it. I was like, next time I see Drew, I got to bring this up. And then I see you, and then so what's for dinner? So we'll get let you know about the t-shirts. Again, remember also Douglas movie, September 9th, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Doors are at 7. 21 and over. Get your tickets ahead of time. That shit's going to sell out. Yes, that's why I write shit down. The Crespediso Fantasy Football League. We're going to be drafting in a couple weeks. Got a few spots open. 4 or 5 spots open. If you want in, let me know. Tweet me at Crespediso or I am Chris Crespo. I'll also put out tweets and Facebook posts about it and shit. But you need a few more people for the Fantasy Football League. We'll get that one locked up, ready to go. Another good year. Who won last year? Was it Theron? The Theron win? Here we go, guys. It is time for my second favorite segment of every show after Dr. Drew's 2 cents. This time for Billy D's Death in the Movies. Here we go. Drusa Cogburn has Billy D, instead of the movie Communique. Our New York City senior correspondent, Billy D, horror film aficionado, chimes in every week. Dr. Drew.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy? That's why I always say that all the time. What's up, Billy?
This week was a big one up here. Prepping for a vacation, charging and checking my gear, cleaning, etc. As such, I did not watch any movies. I did, however, catch up on some television.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. We talk about television, too. I've had people tweet us, email us, asking us to talk a little bit more about television, Drew. I think we should try and make more of a concerted effort to do that. So let's let Billy D lead the way.
I present you, Billy D dies a slow death on his couch.
That's a new segment he's doing. Billy D dies a slow death on his couch. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's get the big one out of the way. All the white people are talking about it on social media. It's the new True Detective Season 1 and Final Breaking Bad.
Wait, dude, Season 1 and Final Breaking Bad? He's just talking about these now? Okay, here we go.
Mr. Robot. I think this is the ballsiest thing USA has ever done. Esmail's ability to homage, lift, and outright steal is outmatched only by Tarantino in some ways. Something clicked with me in Episode 9 where I was okay with everything. It was when a song started playing and I realized what I had just watched. The first cover version of a film. Taking into account, I knew how to reflect on Mr. Robot. And I realized I shouldn't be mad, and I knew all the homages and nods because I knew everyone. The difference between Mr. Robot and Tarantino movie is that Ismail is just taking shit from everyone, taking from shit everyone has seen. Slow clap for you, sir.
Interesting. Okay. Episode 9.
Yes.
You're way more up to date on. I've only seen the first episode of Mr. Robot. I've been meaning to watch the rest.
I've watched.
What do you want?
Probably episode 6 or 7.
Are you digging it? Are you enjoying it? That's why you're watching.
I mean, it's fun. I like where it's going. You know, the twists and turns. Some of it's kind of predictable, but
yeah, it is just a USA show. You don't expect much from USA.
It is definitely the ballsiest thing USA has ever done.
Interesting.
I agree.
Interesting. I need to get on that.
It is good. It's different. It's weird.
I liked. Yeah, there were things about the pilot I really liked about it. And then there were things that were like, Drusa Cogburn versus the world. Drusa Cogburn versus the world. The news of the movies has been interrupted for this edition sparring round. Drusa Cogburn versus the world. Yeah, I gotta get on that, Mr. Robot. I gotta catch it.
It's on the in demand.
I just need the time. I know it's on the in demand. I just need the time, man. Got that Penn and Teller fool us.
You need to stop watching that. You need to stop watching all that shitty Impractical Jokers.
That I can stop watching.
And your fucking awful Carbonaro effect.
I can stop watching those. Yes. Yes. I agree. You know what? When I finally got on that Penn and Teller fool us, because I love that the British one that was on YouTube for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, it's on YouTube. That's how I was watching it. But that was like 4 or 5 years ago. They finally brought it to America. CW has it. I finally got around to watching them, right? And I watch them. And then when I go back to the guide and then I see the Carbonara effect, I'm like, I don't need this fucking shit. And now I got Penn and Teller with like actual magicians and the shit's great.
Yeah.
All their inside magic nerd talk.
Carbonara effect.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that. Awful. Yeah, so you're right. You're right. I can get rid of all that shit. I can make some more time.
Watching
I can make
Robot.
Some more. I can make some more time for Mr. Robot. That is true. Which I will do. We'll get back to Billy D's death movies. Slow Death on the Couch. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Drew, you're a 10-2. Mm-hmm. And I take a little pride in that. I think I'm helping to build this movie trivia beast machine that we will then be able to unleash on the actual world.
And then watch me fail miserably.
No, because you know why? You're going to do great at games like this. This one is called Doom and Gloom.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me what caused this movie's particular apocalypse.
Okay.
So, for example, if the movie was Zombieland, the apocalypse is caused by?
Zombies.
There you go. I would have also accepted undead.
Okay.
And then with the answers here, I can be kind of flexible. If I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
You know? It's that kind of thing. Number one, 12 monkeys.
It's a virus.
That's correct. Number two, Waterworld.
But the sea levels rise.
That's correct. I would have also accepted global warming or climate change or polar ice caps melting. That's number three, Oblivion.
Aliens.
That's correct. Number four, This is the End.
It's the rapture.
I've also accepted biblical apocalypse or revelations. Number five, The Book of Eli.
It was the sun. Like solar flares. There's some sort of scorching.
Nuclear war. It was a nuclear war.
It was
a post-apocalyptic nuclear war, yes, but it was scorched.
Yeah.
Number six, I Am Legend.
Vampires.
Correct. I've also accepted undead in general. And you could have talked me into Hebrews of Man as well.
Okay.
If you wanted to go that route. Number seven, Reign of Fire.
Dragons.
Fuck yeah, dragons. Every time I see that movie, like Reign of Fire, I'm like, oh yeah, Reign of Fire. I need to rewatch that.
Matthew McConaughey. Crazy beard.
He jumps off a cliff with an axe, with a pickaxe. I want to take down a dragon. Uh-huh. And then the dragon just eats him.
Yep.
It's a good movie. Number eight, 28 Days Later.
Virus.
That's correct. I would not have accepted zombies in that one.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, that's correct. Number nine, The Road.
Wasn't just, you know, people being shitty. I mean, wasn't just like regular old human apocalypse.
No, it was a nuclear fallout, winter, for sure. Everything was burned, ash everywhere, no sun.
You say so.
Nuclear winter. And finally, number 10, The Day After Tomorrow.
Ice hurricanes.
Ice age, climate change, weather in general.
Yes. Ice hurricanes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, 8 out of 10 on that one. Mm-hmm. Told you would do good on that one. But then I said you would do bad, so then you did good. There you go. See, it worked. It worked, Drew. Voodoo, black magic, it's a thing. Before we get back to Billy D's Death Movies, I watched that. This ties into Billy D. Billy D reviewed both Lost Soul, The Doomed Journey of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau.
Mm-hmm.
And in a separate Death Movies, he did one on Dust Devil,
mm-hmm.
which is a Richard Stanley movie, his second film. All these movies, that and Hardware, his first film, all three of these movies are available on Netflix Instant, and I watched them all in a day. With, you know, some breaks in between. But I watched them all. Maybe I should have sat on Dust Devil, because I can't remember how it ended. I can't remember like the last half hour of it. But Lost Souls, amazing documentary about the making of Island of Dr. Moreau, how horrible it went. And Hardware, incredible film. Billy, talk about both of those. I forgot why originally I brought them up.
Good job, Chris.
Something to do with, I was going to tie it all into what was just happening before.
Nope. Not tying shit.
But now I'm just remembering how I forgot. I can't remember what happened at the end of Dust Devil.
All right.
And Hardware is an awesome movie.
So back to Billy D's Death in the Movies.
It's going to come to me at like in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m. Like, oh, The show's already out there. Okay.
He wants to tell us about another show, Chris. It's called Review.
Gotta get on them, Mr. Robot. Review?
Watch this show.
Is that a Comedy Central?
Just let me finish. It's on Comedy Central.
I'm talking like you're Billy.
And is brilliant. The writing on this show is so crafty, shocking, and hilarious. Forrest McNeil is steadily becoming one of my favorite comedic creations. The first season is on Amazon Prime and is fantastic. The second is ongoing currently and is so far just as good. Nathan For You, another crafty show on Comedy Central. These two are similar in some ways, with their bending of reality to suit the narrative, but Nathan For You feels somehow dangerous, since a lot of his stunts cross over into the real world. Of the two, this has that Sacha Baron Cohen / Tom Green anything can happen feeling, and he is the consummate straight man. Now the hard part, choosing which of my shirts is the least metal for a trip to the Bible Belt. Stay cool, Billy D.
Billy D returning to the Bible Belt.
Yes.
He's got some connections there. All right, going backwards. Review. I'm pretty sure that's Andy Daly's show.
Okay.
Andy Daly is Eastbound and Down.
Yes.
He's the... I know who... You know Andy Daly is. But people who maybe don't know, the principal.
Yeah, he was also... He was a Daily Show correspondent.
Was he?
Yeah.
See, there was a while there where I wasn't watching the Daily Show. He was a correspondent on there?
Yep.
Good for him. I think he's hysterical. I've heard him a lot on... I've become a fan of his via the Comedy Bang Bang podcast / TV show. Mm-hmm. He does a lot there, a lot of characters. And he has his own podcast. That's a little complicated to explain, but it's fun. It's good times. I gotta watch that show Review. What was the other one? Oh,
Nathan For You.
You ever seen Nathan For You?
Yeah, it's awkward.
Yeah.
It's really awkward.
It is awkward because it's real life type stuff, right? And the one thing... Because the whole thing with his show is that he's come up with business ideas to help people market their businesses.
And they're just awful.
And they're always awful ideas, but still get people in the door. So how awful can they really be? And one thing was for an ice cream company, I think, or frozen yogurt. I think it was an ice cream company. He actually had someone develop a poop flavored ice cream, and they market tested that and had people try ice cream that obviously wasn't made with real shit, but it tasted like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just. Would you go in for a second bite once you realize what it tasted like?
Probably not.
Just to be like, wait, got it? To confirm that.
Probably not.
Just make sure your mind wasn't tricking you.
Yeah, probably not.
Like, how do they make ice cream taste like the dew? Without it actually having it.
Good question.
Right? That's what it always sticks out of my head for.
It probably really has doo-doo in it.
No way. It can't. It's illegal. I don't know if this is real, but I remember one time when I was working at Starbucks back in the day. And we couldn't get any white mocha syrup for like 2 months. We couldn't get any white mocha. And the rumor was that some disgruntled employee took a dump in one of the white mocha vats. They had to shut everything down, clean everything out. Months without white mocha.
No white mocha.
And it's because one dude took a shit in one of the vats somewhere.
It was you, wasn't it, Chris?
No, I never. I don't know. I don't know where they make the white mocha syrup. Dude, there are people that would kill for that shit. They are literally addicted to that.
I'm sure.
Insane. What are we doing here? What's going on? I decided to open up another St. Bernardus. 10%.
You're kind of losing track here, buddy.
I'm losing track here. Let's see. Well, thank you, Billy D. We appreciate it. Hit him up on Twitter at I Love Blood. And good luck on your road trip there in the Bible Belt. Don't let any... Well, he's white. He'll be fine. Watch out for those metal t-shirts, though. They don't take kindly to Satanists in Alabama or wherever hell he's going.
I want to eat these Tootsie Rolls.
Huntsville, Alabama. What, like right now?
Right now.
You know what, Drew? You know what, dude? You can have them. Out of the swag bag. Drew Chicago helping himself to some swag bag Tootsie Rolls. I was never a Tootsie Roll fan.
They look good.
Well, they're Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah. They're awesome.
Never a fan of them. Really? I wish I was. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's just chocolate flavored stuff.
It's a specific chocolate. It's, What is it? It says on there. No, there's a specific thing. Now the show's officially gone off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Don't chew that into the microphone, though. But yes, enjoy all the Tootsie Rolls that you want, sir. They're yours. While you do that, you know what? Don't put another one in your mouth. Because we need you, sir, for the segment of the people. It's time to read the emails, the tweets, the Facebooks, questions, comments, movie reviews from our listeners. It's a segment we call Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox
Populi.
Vox Populi.
What you say? What you say?
Listening to a lot of Rage Against the Machine last few days.
And that's a bad thing because...
I'm feeling it more than ever. The lyrics.
Okay. Well, I mean, they are very much appropriate still to this day.
Which makes me so mad.
What, that this same nonsense has been going on for like 20 years plus?
And it's like, I was listening to this in the 90s and I enjoyed this because it was generally angry, fuck the man, it's good music. But now I'm listening to it, like on top of it being good music, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it.
Yeah.
I'm also reading War Against All Puerto Ricans, which is like, oof. The shit they don't teach at school.
We hate you, Chris.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Apparently. Well, yeah. Actually, it's a weird thing. I got the weird thing going on where I am a direct descendant of both the oppressed and the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, all the raping and pillaging and whatnot, and the killing of all the men of the Taino tribe and the taking of all the women. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got both.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? So Rage Against the Machine's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids should be listening. Go, okay, you know, the kids listen to the show. We got a handful of the teenagers, the youngsters. Mm-hmm. They need to know what's going on. They need to get... And, but see, that's the thing with the Evil Empire. Did you ever get Evil Empire like on CD or tape or whatever?
Yeah.
And the liner.
Mm-hmm.
You pulled it out. And had all the lyrics on one side. Then on the other side was just a picture of all the banned books.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy that move, if you buy that album online, like the MP3s, you don't get the liner.
No,
you don't get to find out about all the books.
No,
right?
Correct.
It's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, kids, go out there and find a used CD of Evil Empire, Rage Against the Machine. Buy it so you can check out the liner notes. And then take the CD to your parents and then ask them what it is. And they'll tell you about a time long ago. Long, long ago.
When physical media reigned supreme.
You know what? Physical media forever, bro. I'm all about the physical media. I'm so glad we got this box of 1,000 movies that we pared it down to a few hundred.
So many.
So many movies. All right, here we go. It's time for that Vox Populi. You can email us, Cinema Crespediso, tweet us at Crespediso, or Facebook us, Cinema Crespediso, and we will read your shit online. So I know you got some shit here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Phillips II on Twitter. He's at Noriko 455.
Okay,
something like that. You just hit me up on Facebook 34 minutes ago, or the show Cinema Crespediso, so he hit us up. Yo, the Paul Giamatti character of Straight Outta Compton. Do you feel he had genuine feeling for Eazy-E? I feel he did. I think he just like a Jew Suge Knight and care about money, but I feel that the movie tried to balance his caring of Eric and his greed. Do you agree? You know, if the real person was a good person.
Don't know anything about the real person, but I mean, personally, I'm sure he cared about him as much as someone else cares about like their show dog or their racehorse. You know, you need them well, you need them alive because they are your paycheck.
Sure. So it only extended to a business.
Mm-hmm.
You care about him as much as you care about a business partner or an asset.
Mm-hmm.
As much as certain slave owners may care about their quote property, their slaves.
Correct.
Making sure that they're happy enough to keep working.
Obviously before...
In the movie though, they did show the scene where... And I'm sure this happened, where they're recording their album. They're outside. The cops throw them all on the ground. And then Jerry comes out. He sees them on the ground. He's like, they're artists. They're here working. And the guy's like, rap ain't art. You know, it's very ham-fisted dialogue. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the scene is what really matters. You know, it's not a perfect scene, but it works, though. And he's like, he gets really pissed off. He's like, I'm going to tell the mayor, blah, blah, blah. I felt like that was genuine, you know, because he is a... As a Jewish fella,
yeah,
who is direct descendants of of Jewish people that were directly affected by, like, the Holocaust and shit, you know?
I mean, I'm sure, but at the same time, as a businessman, he hustled all of them.
I think for him, money, definitely in the movie, wouldn't be surprised. This must have been the way it was in real life. I don't know much about the real story to argue against the movie, right? So according to the movie, while he may have been a dude who did generally be like, this is fucked up, you guys need to get your word out there. Like you're saying, he's also a guy who's like, I need you to get your word out there because I can monetize this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the point in time when, at least according to the movie, when he found Eazy-E, you know, yes, he had success in the past, but at that point in time, he was managing a vinyl production plant.
Yeah, and he pointed out, like, have you worked with anyone, like, not from the 70s or whatever? Because he was writing off, like, impressive names. Like, yeah, this guy is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
and Eazy-E was like, what have you done recently? And it's like, oh, that's true. Good call. Yeah, that's very true. So he was definitely, they definitely used each other.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what business is, oftentimes, you know? But I do think, at least in the movie, he was a decent guy, but with, like most people, the money, the greed, the business, that ultimately won, and was more than a decent guy, you know? He ended up being kind of a shitheel.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's a bummer. But hey, that's... No one makes money without fucking making some enemies.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably, well, I'll be poor forever. But that's fine. Too nice of a guy.
Also, same dude on Twitter.
At Noriko455. I think he's our homie Ron from Denver. He's helping spread the word out in Denver. Him and Mike, and, you know, we got some listeners out there.
Hey, I am Crespo. You've been saying it's a year of the spy movie. You can add hashtag American Ultra to that. He's got a small review as well.
Yeah, there he says, gotta finish that Tootsie Roll there, buddy.
Well, hashtag American Ultra was a fun romp of action and love. I respect it. Crespudiso, it reminded me of hashtag The Guest.
The Guest, yeah, I don't think it's as good as The Guest, but it's definitely...
Not as good, no, but it takes...
A blending of genres, and it takes the idea of the secret agent, and it takes into a different direction. I've been calling it Cheech and Chong's, like, the Bourne Identity or whatever, you know, because that's what's going on
it
there.
It looks like it tried to be...
The Guest is more
an
like...
even how, more spy-y way Pineapple
more,
Express.
Way more spy-y. And, yeah. Yeah, like James Bond Pineapple Express. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It tried to be.
That's what it went for. It's not... It's salvageable. It's something they could... And it's, you know, like... Most movies, it's set up in a way that, oh, they could make more of these. Like, either the story could end here and you get what's going on, or they give you a way to, like, make more of this type of film. And, I mean, I could see where a different director or a different storyteller could come in and take the same idea and really do a bang-up job with it.
Expand upon it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if they never made another one, I wouldn't care. It's that type of thing.
Agreed.
Yeah, but it's alright. And it's definitely a year of spy movie for sure. Because every time I mention spy movies too, I didn't even talk about American Ultra, which is he's a covert spy asset, right?
CIA.
And Hitman Agent 47. They started as a government program creating spies and stuff. So you add those two to Spy, Kingsman Secret Service, Spectre, Man from U.N.C.L.E., Mission Impossible. That's a shit ton of fucking spy movies, man. In one year. Is that all of them? No, I'm constantly wondering if I even got them all. There's so many goddamn ones. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Some of those movies are good, but just watch The Guest, which is on Netflix.
On the Facebook, Ernie Cantu got at us.
What's up, Ernie?
Fantastic Four. Great comic book movie or the greatest?
That's a great question. Gotta say, now is that a great question or the greatest question? It's probably neither.
Same with the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted
to like it, but it's the whole third act breakdown.
You know what? I read an article online that was a synopsis of the Fantastic Four screenplay that director Joshua Trank came up with a different writer before this dude Simon Kinberg came on and did a lot of rewriting. Simon Kinberg has been getting a lot of high profile stuff. He's working with the Star Wars people right now over at Disney, so he's very high profile. Before he came on, the original screenplay that Joshua Trank was working on, was a it involved the Mole Man, the origins of the Mole Man. Mole Man was going to become like he was a doctor working at the Baxter Lab, and they were working on a different side project that went bad, and he gets turned into Mole Man. The same movie. Also, Victor Von Doom, his whole transformation into Dr. Doom, it's full on. Latveria is like represented in the movie.
Wow.
And he's like setting up clones of himself or some shit like that. So like they defeat Dr. Doom only to realize that it's a clone and the real Dr. Doom is somewhere else. The Fantasticar is fully in it. What else? There was other stuff. It was way more action packed. There's like an attack on New York City. And the accident then also was like, oh, Dr. Doom like made some... Oh, what happened? It's crazy. Very different. Way more involved.
Mm-hmm.
More characters, more... they dug deeper into the Fantastic Four history and pulled out even more stuff. And they were going to try and squeeze all this shit into one movie. And they took a lot of that out. A lot of it out when they went for this version. And also then, apparently... before, like, after they wrote the screenplay that they were happy with, after Simon Kimber came on, they wrote the screenplay they were happy with, like, all right, let's make this version of the movie. And Fox was like, you know what? We need to shave off this X amount of dollars now, even though we gave you this budget. We're taking money away, so you have to find ways to save money. And they cut out 3 action scenes.
Wow.
Yeah. In the trailer, there's, a thing is hanging on the plane or whatever. He drops down and he's like, there's like a war battle going on. Like, none of that stuff's in the movie.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. There's like, if you look online, someone did a breakdown of all the shots that are in the trailer that aren't in the movie. There's like 12 shots from the trailer.
Wow.
That never made it to the actual film. So that fucking shit was doomed from the start. I feel really bad for everyone involved. Because there's no belief in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
They're just making it to save the copyright. Whereas, I wasn't even going to bring this up, but I found this story pretty interesting. Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For DC. Warner Brothers DC. David Ayer, director of Fury and End of Watch. Mm-hmm. And the guy who wrote Training Day, and he did Harsh Times. Dude makes heavy R-rated movies.
Yeah.
He's doing this fucking comic movie, Suicide Squad. That I don't know if the movie's going to be good or not. It might be a bad movie, but the people who are making it, the crew, everyone, they all fucking believe in it, 100%. Like in all the product, the promotional materials that they're putting out, all the tweets, the Facebook stuff. Like you see these people that they bonded as a group, they really get along, and they definitely believe in the movie that they're making.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, one day Margot Robbie, dressed fully in Harley Quinn makeup, set up Harley Quinn's tattoo parlor, and they put up, her and other cast members put up Instagram photos of this. You can find this online. Set up a tattoo parlor with a real fucking little tattoo gun needle thing, and they had like 5 or 6 of them had Squad tattooed on them somewhere on their arms or on their legs, and Squad spelled wrong, like SKWAD or some shit like that. And she gave most of them tattoos. Will Smith gave one. I think he gave like Joel Kinnaman a tattoo, a big one too, on his bicep. He got a big one. and then Joel Kinnaman, I'm pretty sure it was him, the dude who played RoboCop, the new RoboCop.
Yeah.
He was like watching Will Smith use a tattoo gun. It was like watching a baby fly an airplane for the first time.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and it was a little crooked.
Yep.
But he got it though, and it's a Will Smith original. He's the only person in the world to have a Will Smith tattoo. I would like cut off that piece of my flesh and sell it on eBay. Original Will Smith art right here. So, like, they believe in it.
Yeah.
I like, the Fantastic Four crew, no one's tattooing Fantastic Four on them.
No.
You know, at any point.
No, never.
So, actually gives me a little hope for the Suicide Squad.
It could be okay.
Could actually be okay.
It could not be bad. We'll see.
There's a new rumor going around, too, about how Joker, Jared Leto's Joker, is actually Jason Todd.
Okay.
Yeah. Robin, the next Robin.
Yeah.
For the people at home who don't know what Jason Todd is.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
What if
the Joker ends up being an ex-Robin?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
Sure.
I like it.
You don't really give a fuck that much? just another take on the character.
Yeah,
you're not that invested in a Joker origin story or
Jason Todd that much. Yeah, no.
So if they just fucked around with that, you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
I don't mind.
Fair enough. Vox Pop Boy, is that what we're doing?
Yes. We have a Welcome to Me review from Steve Etchy.
Oh, Etchy from Answer Pants, which apparently they're done. Answer Pants is done. You can still...
Nope, so be it.
You can still look them up, and there's hundreds and hundreds of hours of entertainment from all those guys. We'll have some of those people back on the show. Like, Etchy will be back on the show, and Chico and all those guys. It's fun. Try to get Ivan in here. He's a tough one to wrangle. Apparently, he has plans for Rampant Radio. So
interesting.
So, yeah. We'll see what's going on there. But all right, it's from Etchy. That's right, because last week he mentioned Welcome to Me, said people should watch it. He was about to watch it. I asked him for a follow-up. He sent in a whole goddamn review.
Okay, this could very well be a fairly unbalanced review.
All right.
I went into this movie wanting really bad to love it, giving it a definite advantage. The first thing that really made me want to see it was Kristen Wiig. She's one of my favorite SNL cast members ever, and I always get excited when I see that she's in something new. Like, excessively excited.
Are you a Kristen Wiig fan, Drew?
I mean, most of what she's done I've liked, so I can't say that I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I've liked her. I've always liked her.
No.
I'm not, like, seeking her out or, like, super excited when she's, oh, another Kristen Wiig thing.
Yeah.
But when I see her, I'm like, oh, this is good. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same.
Okay.
Cool. Anyway... with this type of movie, the kind that deals with drama and deeper issues, but also a comedy, if you don't balance the elements well, it's not going to work. There are going to be moviegoers that are more interested in the drama than the comedy, and vice versa. I thought it was blended perfectly, allowing you to empathize with and be concerned for the main character, while still delighting in the amusing situations and the dialogue. It never gets uncomfortable on a Ben Stiller level. It's a rare movie that blends these two genres so well. When the movie is over, you've been given something to think about and some great lines that make you chuckle. Again, I loved it, but this could be me seeing through rose-colored glasses. I'm also not sure if it's the type of movie I would see again. Sometimes when you see sad things happen in a movie and the movie is really good, you may not want to see it again because you'd have to go through those situations all over again. Like you were part of them the first time. Definitely something worth seeing, especially if you're looking for something different. I wouldn't call it a dark comedy so much as an emotional comedy. Yeah, that sounds good. Anyway, it's on Netflix now.
I totally get what he's saying with the... It's a good movie that you enjoy watching, but you don't necessarily want to revisit it because of certain aspects of the film.
Okay.
What immediately comes to mind for me is City of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in City of God where, because it deals with like how the kids at a very young age are forced into crime. Mm-hmm. That's the life that they see, so that's what they start emulating right away. And there's a scene where one kid who's like, "Oh, you want to be part of this gang? You have to shoot one of these two kids."
Yeah,
right. And one of the two kids. So you have three kids. Kid A is pointing a gun at kids B and C. Kids B and C are just like, they're literally crying and pissing and shitting themselves because one of them's about to get shot. And then I don't even know how they did this. Acting wise, like, they really just like fucking scared this kid.
Yeah.
Because one of those kids is so young, he's gotta be like 5?
Mm-hmm.
And he's crying like hardcore, like, this is horrible.
He probably thinks he's gonna die.
He might die right at that moment. And like, this scene is so hard to fucking watch. And then even one of the storylines, there's like 2 or 3 storylines in that movie, and one of them ends with 2 people trying to escape, like a Romeo and Juliet type thing, trying to escape the ghetto, the favela, but the dude gets shot and dies as they're leaving, and it's a total bummer ending. Yep. And I really love that movie, but I don't want to have to sit through that shit again.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bummer.
It is.
That sucked. Ah, see, even just thinking about the movies now, taking me out of this roller coaster emotions of watching children have guns pointed at them and star-crossed lovers and doomed relationships. Thanks, Etchy. Appreciate it. But seriously, Welcome to Me. That's one I've been wanting to watch. I remember seeing the trailer at the end.
It's on the Netflix now.
It's on Netflix now. Add it to the list. Right after the 6 or 7 hours of Mr. Robot that I'm behind. And
yeah, like nine episodes, like 40, in between 45 and 49 minutes per episode.
Oh my God. God, the time. I'll just watch another Penn and Teller. Okay. What else we got over there?
That's it?
Oh, that's it? All right. That's over to Vox Populi. Let's check out the movie news. What's going on in the world of the cinemas?
Nothing.
In Hollywood, we have a couple things. The movie news has been slow. I think it slows down this summer. A lot of people are on vacations, finishing up vacations, stuff like that. We got here. I have. They just released the list of highest paid actresses.
Okay.
For 2015. Named at number one, Drew.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, number one at $52 million for the year 2014. Number two, want to take a guess on that one? She had a couple movies. She had a Marvel movie, and she had a Lucy movie. That's Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
Scarlett Johansson. $35.5 million she made last year. Melissa McCarthy, number three, $23 million. Uh-huh. So number one, J-Law, 52. Number three, Melissa McCarthy, 23.
That's half.
Big drop there. Number four, Bing Bing Fen. Chinese lady.
Oh, yeah.
She's had a lot of endorsement deals, apparently. Okay. So that's what got her up there. $21 million. And number five, Jennifer Aniston at $16.5
million. Really?
Jennifer Aniston is banking.
Wow.
Good for you, David Thoreau. Putting a ring on that one. Putting a ring on $16.5 million because in that couple, she is the breadwinner. He's just on fucking, what's that fucking show? The HBO show.
I don't know.
The Leftovers.
Mm.
He's that guy.
Okay.
He was the bad guy, the Irish bad guy in Charlie's Angels 2.
Yeah.
He plays the director in Mulholland Drive.
Yeah.
David Thoreau. He actually makes most of his money writing. Angelina Jolie is number 7, $15 million. Julia Roberts, number 6, $16 million. Reese Witherspoon, number 8, $15 million. She just started her own production company. Anne Hathaway at number 9, $12 million. And Kristen Stewart, number 10, $12 million as well, who we saw in American Ultra.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't mind her in American Ultra. I thought she was fine. I didn't think she was bad at all in that movie. What'd you think? We didn't talk about her at all. What'd you think of her? Because, I mean, what else... I'm trying to think of some, I've seen her in something else that's not a Twilight movie. Is this the first movie I've seen with her all the way through? I think I've seen her in something else.
I mean, she wasn't awful. I don't think she was great, though.
No, she wasn't great, but that could just be the role or the way the movie was made. Nothing about the movie was great.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen Eisenberg be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not going to blame him for the movie itself being a little flat, right? Can't really blame her. It's about this. Oh shit! This clouds. I know. There we go. It's a new studio.
So come on,
I gotta get used to it. This Clouds of Sils Maria movie where Kristen Stewart won a French acting award. She's the first American ever to win it.
So weird.
That's a movie I gotta see. See what's up with her. Number 11: Cameron Diaz, $11 million. Gwyneth Paltrow, $9 million. Meryl Streep, $8 million. Amanda Seyfried, $8 million. She was just in Ted 2.
Yep.
Sandra Bullock, $8 million. Emma Stone. Sandra Bullock was the number one the year before.
Yeah.
Emma Stone, $6.5 million. Mila Kunis, $6.5 million. Natalie Portman, $6 million. These are the ladies with the money.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. But when you compare that to the top 10 for male actors, that whole equal pay thing makes a little more sense. Robert Downey Jr., highest paid actor of 2015, right? $80 million. It's because he gets that Avengers back-end stuff.
And Iron Man
back-end stuff. Yeah. Number two, a little surprising, because it's a lot of work that's been done outside of America. Jackie Chan.
Really?
In 2015, Jackie Chan made $50 million.
God damn.
Vin Diesel, number three, at $47 million. That's that Fast and Furious back in money there. That's how he gets that last Witch Hunter movie made.
With his own money, probably.
Bradley Cooper, yeah. American Sniper.
He's been in a lot of movies lately.
Number four, $41.5 million. He's got a movie coming out where he's going to play a chef.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Burnt.
Yep.
I think. Number five, Adam Sandler, $41 million. Number six, Tom Cruise, $40 million. Number seven, eight, and nine are all Hindi actors.
Okay.
Hindi film industry. Amitabh Bachchan, Salman Khan, and Akshay Kumar all make between $33.5 million and $32.5
million. Good for them.
In rupees?
Oh.
Right? What's in India?
Sure.
Something like that. And number 10, That fucking Mark Wahlberg, man. Mm. Mark Wahlberg making $32 million in 2015.
Fucking Mark Wahlberg.
Fucking Mark Wahlberg. Buy all the cutty sock you need with $32 million. $32 million. So those are people making the money in 2015.
It's a lot of money being made, man.
A lot of money being made out there. I mentioned the Disney 23, the D23 Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the biggest news to come out of it was something that people have been, if you're paying attention, it's what you should have been expecting. Disney already owns a bunch of theme parks. Mm-hmm. They got the Hollywood Studios over here in Orlando.
Yes.
Part of Hollywood Studios already, before they even bought Star Wars, was Star Wars related. They got a big old AT-AT out there. They have the Star Wars, the Star Tours ride was pretty cool, right? With the live like Darth Vader show. Mm-hmm. So they already have a little Star Wars section. They've announced that they're doing an entire Star Wars themed land going on. And it's going to have rides where, like, one of the rides is you're going to be in the Millennium Falcon, and they're going to have a can, like, you know how Universal, they have Mos Tavern?
Yeah.
They're going to have the Cantina, the Tatooine Cantina. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, they're going to have the Tatooine Cantina there, but the land itself is supposed to be its own, like, it's a port.
Yeah.
The idea of it is that you show up at this port, and it's the last port you go to before you take off into the... to the galaxy, into the Star Wars universe, and all that shit. So they're making an entire universe. They're also doing, they announced that they're making a whole Toy Story land on the movie Toy Story. So they're doing two huge park expansions, which are actually, it just sounds like additional parks.
Yeah.
Whole new parks. So I don't know if they're changing Hollywood Studios. Maybe they're adding on to Hollywood Studios. Maybe it's still you just go to Hollywood Studios and then you can go to the Star Wars section.
We'll see how it all works out.
Right? We will see.
I mean, we're right here.
We're right here. We got to take advantage of that shit, bro. Yeah. It's pretty sweet. People around the world would freak out for this shit. And for us, it's, depending on traffic, 30, 40 minutes up the road.
Tops.
And, what, $100 out of your pocket.
Well, it's expensive.
Just to get in. Yeah. Just to get in the door.
Not to mention paying all the extra shit while you're there.
But seriously, though, I mean, I love the Simpsons stuff. I like that immersive world thing. Mm-hmm. I wish I was more of a Harry Potter fan because the Harry Potter sections at Universal,
crazy.
They're impressive. And I wish I could be like, oh, look at these details and those details. A lot of details are being lost on me, you know? A similar thing with Disney opening up Pandora at the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I really don't care about that.
See, it's like... the movie Avatar, I don't care about Avatar, but I want to see the bioluminescence.
And the floating mountains.
The floating mountains. I just want to see the way it's laid out and designed. It's a huge, expensive endeavor.
Well, we'll have to go, just not when it first opens.
That's a thing, too. We gotta give these things like at least a year.
If not more.
If not a year and a half before the lines are reasonable, the crowds are reasonable. I mean, I didn't go on that new Harry Potter ride until at least a year after it was open.
Yeah.
And even then, I waited an hour to get on, I think. But then the second time I went on, it was only like a... You go on the single riders line.
Yeah, you just get it.
Not even a 20-minute wait. It's a pretty sweet ride. I like it. So I'm looking forward to that shit. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're making a 50 Shades sequels for sure.
Don't care.
So the next 50 Shades movie is called 50 Shades Darker.
So it's going to be even more sexy.
Yeah, right. It is being directed by James Foley. He's just signed on now, James Foley. James Foley is kind of a journeyman director. His most famous film is probably Glengarry Glen Ross.
Okay.
He also did a movie, I think, was it Colors? Either did Colors with Robert Duvall and Sean Penn, or he did, At Close Range with Sean Penn and Christopher Walken. It's a crazy 80s kind of a crime movie. The guy's been around for a while. So it's interesting that he's coming on to direct these movies. I think it's a type of thing where, like, he needs the work.
He needs some money.
He needs some money. So he's willing to take on this this endeavor of making possibly both this movie and the third movie, which is going to be called, I guess the book is called, and this makes no sense. At least 50 Shades Darker makes sense. 50 Shades Freed?
That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any fucking sense. Christian Bale is going to be in a movie about the Ferrari guy.
Okay.
What's his name? Enzo Ferrari?
Sure.
Michael Mann. He of Public Enemies and Miami Vice. Heat, Manhunter. He's making a Ferrari biopic.
Interesting.
And he got Christian Bale to be his Ferrari.
Interesting. A Welshman as an Italian.
A Welshman as an Italian. This Welshman has done quite a bit.
Yes, he has.
He's played American and Englishman, Brits, proper Brits. Now he's going to play an Italian. So he's going to do that. The bippity boppity. He's going to do that a lot, right?
I'm Batman.
What if he just talks in Batman voice the whole time as Enzo Ferrari?
He could.
I'm going to make the Ferrari car. It's a name right after me.
Toby Kebbell is Victor Von Doom in Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be in the King Kong prequel.
Sweet.
That they're making. Kong Skull Island. Which has kind of an interesting cast so far now. Because Toby Kebbell just signed on. Tom Hiddleston, who is Loki.
Yep.
He's in this the Crimson Peak movie coming out soon. Looks crazy. And Brie Larson, who she isn't spectacular now. She's been popping up a lot. She was the sister in Trainwreck. And it's being directed by this dude, Jordan Vogt Roberts, who did this movie, Kings of Summer. It's one of those things where he did a small little indie film, and it got some attention, and now he's on this gigantic movie.
Interesting.
Literally gigantic film. Same thing that happened. The guy who did Monsters doing Godzilla. The guy who did Safe Net Guaranteed doing Jurassic World. That's a new thing now. Finding these dudes who do tiny little movies and then giving them hundreds of millions of dollars to make something huge and corporate.
Sweet.
And then seeing how it works out for them. Also starring in this movie, Samuel Jackson.
Okay.
John C. Reilly. And the dude who played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton. Corey Hawkins.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yep, so there you go. You know what I like most about this movie being made?
What?
It is prompting Universal to make a new Kong ride at Universal Studios.
I guess, hooray.
For me? Yeah, dude. I missed the old Kong ride in all its chintzy glory. The new one's going to be different, where it's before, it was you're in a trolley, you're going around like the set, the city, and then they had a giant animatronic Kong at the end. This one is more like the newer rides where it's a giant like 360 screen and you're going through a set that's filled out with a screen and then like all the shit's happening on the screen. And I guess you're probably wearing 3D glasses too.
I am. So, I hate those rides.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Well, I kind of like those rides. I just like rides in general.
I like rides, but those suck.
That's what they got at Universal. The movie rides, man.
That's why. Maybe that's why I don't like Universal as much as I used to.
Oh. Well, you want to get some Disney annual passes?
Fuck no.
Exactly. SeaWorld?
No.
No. We got a free the orcas, man. Let them just release them. Right there on iDrive.
Free Willy, if you will.
Free Willy. If you will.
I don't like the way you said that.
All right. You know what? I wouldn't call this episode a disaster.
Pretty close.
But it came pretty close. Came pretty close. I got to say. Let's do a better job next week. How do you feel about that?
I can't guarantee anything.
I see it's a lack of commitment there. That's all right. So episode 137 is in the books. Thank you very much, Joseph Cogburn.
Very welcome.
We are done here. We'll be back with 138 next week. It's almost Labor Day weekend. God damn it. And then 139 is after that. You know how math works. So support them R-rated movies. You can send... Email us at cinemacrustpizza@gmail.com to get our mailing address so you can send Drew Cogburn some more Tootsie Rolls to snag on during the show.
Delicious.
And also make sure you get your monies out of the banks and read more books. And most importantly, be excellent to each other. # feel the burn.
Feel the burn?
B-E-B-E-R-N.
Check, 1, 2, check, check. Check, 1, 2, check, hello. Check, 1, 2, check, hello, welcome to the show. Can you, how's that sound? How's that sound? Check, check. Just staying out of the red. Check, 1, 2, check, drop that down. Check. A little bit less right. A little less right. Right. Left. Check. Even.
Less right.
Toast.
More left.
Toast. Toast.
Toast.
What movie is that from?
No idea.
You got a mic check?
Check. Check, check. Check some more. Bring it up
there. I know you told me to put it right up in my face. I just don't like it when it's that close to my mouth.
Well, I mean, you don't got to put your mouth on it, rub your mustache and goatee on it. I mean, listen to that. Do it and listen.
Sounds disgusting.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. So does this. Sometimes they do this by accident. Does it sound good?
It just sounds like you're breathing heavily behind me, which is creepy.
Which is creepy. Because, yeah, because people listening to this, like, mm-hmm. especially if they have earbuds in, I'm doing this in their ear.
It's gross.
As long as there's no cotton mouth type situation. Because then you do it in the...
It sounds even worse.
No, the worst is when you're talking to someone in real life, and then you can hear the smacking of their mouth as they're speaking.
That's pretty gross.
It's like, here's a bottle of water. Are you okay?
No.
Should you not have hit that space queen?
Not okay.
The space queen, check 1, 2. Space queen, welcome to the space queen. I'm your host, space queen number one.
So you're a queen now.
With me is space queen number two.
Not a queen.
You're space queen.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Regal hierarchy in space is different than it is here in...
I don't think so.
How do you know? How do you know?
I don't.
See, you don't know nothing. It's different in space.
That I doubt.
But
okay.
You doubt it?
I do.
You doubt that the space hierarchies are different?
Uh-huh.
The oligarchies?
I do.
The monarchies? Patriarchies?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Noah's Archy?
Sure. That too.
Yeah?
It's all different in outer space.
It's all different in outer space. Check 1, 2... See if this sounds good here. Okay. Got all the websites?
Mm-hmm.
You got okay, see that the papers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
It's you ready? Okay, it's the stab. There you go. Get it out. Get it all out. Feel better?
Not particularly.
No, that's that French bread pizza.
I didn't say I felt bad to begin with.
But you don't feel better?
Not necessarily.
That's that French bread pizza. Notice how it didn't make you feel better?
Was it supposed to?
Yeah, it's food, it's sustenance. It's supposed to sustain you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, it's food. It's foodstuffs.
No, it's not.
It's not? Then what is it then?
Something that resembles food of sorts, perhaps.
What, the French bread pizza? And that's why you don't feel any better. Because it only resembles food.
It's not actual food.
Exactly. So you don't actually
feel
better.
Can we start this fucking shit? Goddamn.
We started already. This is the show.
This is an awful show. I quit.
This is it. This is it right here.
I quit.
I mean, don't you hear the music, the background music?
I quit. If this is the show, then I quit. If this is what we've reduced ourselves to.
It's what I've reduced you to.
It's over. I quit.
I've reduced you to psycho babble. Ready for that?
I'm leaving.
Psycho babble with Drew Sick Awkward.
I said, I'm leaving.
No, you're not.
You are?
I will.
No, you won't.
Watch me.
Watchman. See, you just missed one letter there. Just one letter. So close.
But I added a space. And an exclamation point.
Oh, I didn't know there was an exclamation point in there. The space, he had me on the space, but exclamation, I feel like that's pushing the button. All right, let's get it started.